What's your purpose? Your why? Because at PNC Private Bank, we want to help you achieve it. We'll take care of the how, so just tell us, what's your why? To learn more, please visit pnc.com/private bank. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, September 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In the increasingly competitive streaming industry, content is no longer the only factor that matters. Price point, subscriber retention, and international growth are all top of mind for executives, including those at Netflix. And that focus seems to be helping the company turn the tide after months of struggling to keep up with competitors' growth. On today's show, our Netflix reporter Sarah Krause joins us to discuss the company's strategy and what comes next as it battles to protect its position in the streaming wars. That's after these headlines. Tesla reported near-record quarterly profit on Wednesday, brushing off Wall Street's concerns about weakening demand. Strong vehicle pricing helped the company generate nearly $3.3 billion in profit last quarter, just shy of the record it set in the first quarter. Revenue was also its highest ever at $21.5 billion. But with interest rates rising and fears of a recession growing, Wall Street has become more pessimistic about Tesla's ability to meet its target for vehicle deliveries. The company had planned to deliver 1.4 million EVs to customers by the end of the year. But yesterday, it said it would fall just shy of hitting that target. Get ready for really precisely targeted ads the next time you hail a ride. Uber is launching a new ad targeting feature that lets marketers use customers' travel history and their precise geographic destinations. The feature comes as Uber's new mobility media division starts offering ads across Uber's app for the first time. Uber says it's been building its ad business for several years, mostly with ads placed on Uber Eats food delivery app. But it sees huge potential in expanding ads targeting riders. Some experts, though, say the move could raise concerns about consumer privacy. We report exclusively, the world's largest contract chipmaker, Taiwan Semiconductor, is considering expanding its production capacity in Japan. Sources say the Japanese government has signaled it would like TSMC to expand in the country beyond a factory that's already under construction. The move would help reduce some geopolitical risks for the Taiwanese company. The U.S. and allies like Japan have raised concerns about the amount of semiconductors built in Taiwan, a self-governing island that Beijing claims as part of its territory. A spokeswoman for TSMC said construction for the project in Japan is on track and declined to comment on possible expansion. An official at Japan's Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, who oversees the semiconductor industry, declined to comment. At the U.S. southern border, smugglers are using social media to recruit drivers to pick up migrants that have just crossed the border illegally. Posts on TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat promise hundreds or thousands of dollars for just a few hours of driving. And according to local and federal law enforcement officials, they're becoming a more common tool for smugglers who've promised to get migrants to big U.S. cities. WSJ immigration reporter Alicia Caldwell says the apps offer the smuggling rings a level of protection.
Law enforcement believe one of the reasons they're turning to these social media platforms is because it's easy. You can anonymously recruit drivers without being explicit about what you're doing. And if and when those drivers get caught, and they do often, those drivers don't know much about the organization they're working for, if anything at all. In fact, in court records that we reviewed, many of the drivers said they saw something on social media, they saw a video on TikTok, they saw an ad on Snapchat, and then they coordinated via other platforms, including WhatsApp, and got directions of where to pick folks up and whom to pick up. This has prompted a number of outreach efforts to move these social media companies to do more to prohibit these sorts of posts.
A spokesperson for Meta, the parent of Instagram and WhatsApp, said the company prohibits the facilitation of human smuggling and works with law enforcement to address the issue. A Snap spokesperson said the company prohibits using its platform for illegal activity and encourages users to report any they see to law enforcement. And TikTok said the company prohibits these kinds of posts and removes them when they're found. And authorities in Iran are turning to tech to clamp down on widespread protests sparked by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died while in police custody over allegedly violating the country's strict dress code for women. Since mid-September, when the uprising began, security forces have used live ammunition and tear gas to disperse large crowds, leaving hundreds dead and injured. In response, protesters have moved away from large gatherings to pop-up demonstrations. That's prompted police to use covert tactics. Officers in plain clothes have been mingling among crowds at small resistance events, taking photos and videos of protesters to identify and arrest them later. Iranian authorities have also been using drones and CCTV footage to locate activists. Our reporter Benoit Foucault says even apps that track users' location have been utilized.
Basically, someone ordered food on a food delivery app, and that helped the authorities to track that person at home. He was actually hiding, so he was at home where he was hiding, except they got the login too late, and by then he had moved somewhere else. But it was a good example of something completely random connection that sort of helped them determine his location.
All right, coming up, is content still king when it comes to the streaming wars? We'll discuss Netflix's plan to stay on top. That's after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, know it's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
After back-to-back quarters of subscriber losses, Netflix appears to be turning things around. On Tuesday, it said it added 2.4 million subscribers, more than double what it had forecast. It comes as Netflix battles growing competition in streaming, a space it once easily dominated. It's been testing out new ways to increase visits to its site, boost revenue, and of course, get new members to sign up. Joining us to discuss all of that, and where Netflix goes next, is our Netflix and streaming reporter, Sarah Krause. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, Netflix subscriber growth for the third quarter was surprising to a lot of people. What do we know about how it pulled off that boost?
So Netflix added 2.4 million new subscribers in the September quarter, and they had said to Wall Street that they were likely to gain a million customers. Netflix shares were up about 14% as of Wednesday morning, which sort of reflects the jump that happened in after-hours trading after the earnings report. They were helped during the period by releases of popular shows like Cobra Kai. They had some high-profile movies released like The Gray Man, which is one of their films where they're trying to sort of really do some franchise building, which Netflix hasn't really had in the past, as well as some surprise wins like Purple Hearts, which is not, you know, like the flashiest of movies, but did do very well among its viewers. And then finally, towards the end of the quarter, the Jeffrey Dahmer story has done incredibly well and shot up to the top of its most watched TV charts. So the combination of that really strong content sort of lifted them during the period.
So Netflix saw this subscriber growth. Where did it come from?
The vast majority of the subscriber growth for Netflix during the third quarter was from Asia. They did add customers in each region, but Asia was really the sort of outstanding region in terms of net new subscribers. Another interesting sort of change during the quarter was that for the first time in Netflix's history, the number of subscribers in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa surpassed the customer base in the U.S. and Canada. Now, the U.S. and Canada is still the largest market by revenue, but it's interesting to see as Netflix makes that international push where that growth is coming from.
And is that growth also translating to the kind of content that they have on the platform?
It is. I mean, one of the things that you've seen, Squid Game was sort of an early example of it, of content that started in Korea and then really spread like wildfire and took off around the world. In the third quarter, one of the sort of strengths that the company called out was Extraordinary Attorney Woo, which is another Korean title, but that did well globally. There was another film from Denmark that also did really well. And so Netflix definitely played up the idea that, you know, hey, we're making hits in other parts of the world that are appealing to viewers in all different sorts of markets, that having a hit in one country or region doesn't mean that that content's going to stay there.
So there's been this focus on content, but, you know, they've also been looking at other strategies to get subscribers and to keep subscribers. One of them is this ad-supported tier. We've mentioned it a few times on the show. Where do things stand with that?
So Netflix is in the midst of two really important strategic shifts that are pretty fundamental to its fortunes going forward. The first is the ad tier, as you say. And Netflix, the week prior to its earnings report, made more sort of concrete announcements around its ad tier. So it said that the plan will roll out in early November and that it will cost $6.99 a month. So having that clarity around the pricing and the expected launch date, I think, gave investors a lot of confidence. The other thing to note about both the price point and the timing is that it's a dollar less per month than what Disney will charge for its ad tier starting in December, and the launch is a month before Disney.
So maybe trying to undercut some of the competition. What's the other way that they're looking to boost revenue?
The other important strategic shift is cracking down on password sharing. So one of the things that helped Netflix as it grew was that members sort of widely shared their accounts, and Netflix kind of celebrated it for a while too, because it was visibility for the platform. People talked about what they were watching with friends and family. They shared their password. But now we're in a whole different sort of streaming landscape where competition is such that Netflix needs to make sure that it's maximizing the money it makes from each customer. And so they've said that early next year, they're going to ask households that share accounts outside of the bounds of what their plans allow to pay a little bit more to do so.
What is Netflix doing to keep track of subscriber movement, whether they're dropping off the platform or, you know, staying, but maybe not using it as much? How are they keeping track of users' activity?
So Netflix has a number of internal metrics that help it keep an eye on the quality of content and the success of the content investments that they're making, as well as the product improvements and viewers' overall engagement with the platform. So a really important metric for Netflix lately in particular is not only how sticky content is, so what percent of people who start watching a title make it through 75 minutes or more in the first month, basically, but also the number of times per month that members are coming back to the platform. And that's something that really matters as Netflix is trying to keep members engaged at a time when streaming consumers generally have become more fickle and are more willing to turn off services when they're not actively using it. At the same time, Netflix is trying to understand how people are streaming now that they're going back to the office and traveling more and doing more activities outside of the home.
You know, Sarah, it feels like even though we're talking about revenue, even though we're talking about subscribers, we keep coming back to content. And, you know, analysts we've heard over and over again say content is king. And even with growing competition in the streaming space, if you have good content, your platform will be fine. But we are seeing so much more competition in this space. So does that still hold true?
Content is the differentiator still. And as you say, it's a hard thing to win on because it takes a lot of really smart bets and smart dollars spent. And it's the thing that these platforms, now there's about a dozen mainstream streaming platforms in the U.S., they're all competing on the same thing. So, you know, Netflix said that it feels like its pipeline is really strong and that they've gotten better at sort of smoothing out releases such that they have a steady march or steady drumbeat of hits that are likely to create buzz and that in turn drives fresh sort of subscribers to Netflix, or that keeps its current subscriber base really excited.
All right, that's our Netflix and streaming reporter, Sarah Krause. Thanks so much for explaining this for us, Sarah.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.